من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، كل نفس ذائقة الموت. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy, natural, perfect, simple deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, I appreciate the fact that Hazrat Maulana Isa Sahab has allowed me to attempt to complete the discussion that we started about the movement of souls. If you remember, after Eid, the first Friday, we began discussing about the souls, how the souls move from Alam-e Arwa, etc. And you make dua, this is the first program for the day. Between 6 and 7, I will do Q&A over your local radio station, Al Ansar. And then quarter to 9 onwards, we'll do another Q&A on Radio Islam. Respected elders, if you remember where I stopped, I mentioned that there is an erroneous belief. Certain people believe that souls come home. And in certain homes, they have even a empty seat ready, and they keep an empty seat, and also they put even a plate there, and on inquiry they say that no, the person is coming. Also, generally they prepare the dish that person prefers. If you inquire that why are you cooking this dish, this particular type of food, they say no, so and so who died, that he loved this dish. So to some person I told, that's very fortunate, you are very fortunate. Next time he met me, asked me, why you say you follow the fortunate? I say, no, that you mentioned that he liked your baked beans. Can you imagine if that chap liked prawns, what should have happened to you? Every time you had one fatiha like that, you were in trouble, you know. Respected elders, souls and all don't come back. Once they're gone, they're gone. They don't come back to the house and visit the house and talk to the inmates. Yes. When the soul is taken off the body, and when the soul is taken, then the other souls who have gone by, it comes clearly in the hadith, they welcome them. And they inquire about what has happened. And the soul that goes, the person that goes, he inquires from those receiving souls that what happened to so and so, what happened to so and so. And it is stated clearly in the hadith that sometimes when he inquires, then the people don't know, those souls don't know about it. Giving a clear indication that if this person, first of all, is a good person, giving a clear indication that, see, that soul perhaps is gone in the wrong place, or is gone to the amongst the souls of the disobedient. I told you, when the soul is taken off, it goes in for registration. While that body is lying there, in that split second, the soul is gone for registration, and either in the illiyin, the registration for good, or sijiyin, the registration for bad. Now when the person is dying, I just want to mention this point. When a person is dying, then it is part of Sharia that we should make talqeen. Now talqeen is that those who are around should not gossip and start discussing worldly issues. They should not force the person who is dying. They can see the asarat of death coming on him or her. They should just read the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. They should just read. So that the dying person, he recites this voluntarily, without any pressure or duress, and it must come naturally. It is stated of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was a very great scholar of Islam. He was Mujahid, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, physically fighting. And also he was a great scholar of Hadith. When he was passing away, when he was dying, about dying, remember this is at the last moment, Sakaratul Mawt, when everything is falling apart, at that stage, he did two things which were very significant. One is that a person had come to visit him. He told that person that Irfa Izaraka, that lift your trousers, lift up your trousers. At that stage, at Nizaya Mawt, when death is hovering over his head, and he's worried that he must enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. The respected elders, at the moment, alhamdulillah, enjoining what is good is taking place to a great extent. But active forbidding what is evil, that is not taking place on a large scale. What do you do there? You forbid what is evil, they'll put boycott on you, they'll ban you, they'll classify you, they'll call you all sort of names. You just try to forbid what is evil and stand up for Tawheed and Risalat, and you stand up for Sunnah and you come anti-Shirk and Bidah, they'll stamp you out. They want to put fetters on you. Respected elders, why? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clearly stated that lift the trousers. It is stated that which is below the ankles is in the fire. Another hadith, it is stated that which is below the ankles on the day of judgment, there'll be a ring of fire. It is stated another hadith, that which is below the fire, below the ankles on the day of judgment, a bracelet of fire will be there. It is stated another hadith that wearing the trousers below the ankle, that is a sign of pride. Now when the Nabi of Allah has said that, we don't question it. We irrespective of whether a person can say, my heart is clean, no, my trousers below the ankles, everything is okay with me, I got no pride. If the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam of Allah has stated that, stipulated that, we go by that. That is all. Respected elder, second thing he did, that he recited the kalima and he remained silent. Those around him began to reread the kalima, began to reread. Then he reprimanded them. And he said that, don't you know the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that once a dying person has read the kalima, then you should keep quiet. Because that's his last words now. Now you keep quiet. Why are you reading it again? The respected elders, to do that, at the time of death, that's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Now, one true law. If a person passes away, and he does not say the kalima and pass away, does not mean that he is a bad person. Does not mean that he is a disobedient person. Yes, if he reads the kalima and he passes away, alhamdulillah, nur ala nur. Secondly, people feel sometimes, and there is a general feeling, this is fallacious also, that 40 days before a person passes away, he gets information that he is going to die. That is totally wrong. If you know you're going to die in 40 days, you'll become saint, and you'll start growing the beard, and then the beard that you laughed at, and the kurta that you mocked at, and the molvi that you look down upon, you'll start looking like him. Respected elders, there is no such thing. But what happens sometimes, and this is a rarity, a person comes to know that he's going to die, he's going to pass away. Then he goes and visits his relatives, or he pays his debts, or he visits someone in particular, and then he passes away. But that is shaz. A shaz kal madum, al madum la yotabar. The rarity is like non-existent, and the non-existent we do not take it into consideration when we do jurisprudence. Now another question arises that people are dying all over the world. As we are speaking, people are dying. And there is Malikul Maut taking the ruh out of the souls of people. How come this is possible? One analogy is given. The analogy is like how the elderly mother, when she's cleaning rice, then she has rice on the tray, and she moves the tray up and down, and then she picks out, she as an individual picks out the dirt. How she picks out the dirt amongst the 1,000 pieces of rice, she picks it out, that is how Malikul Maut operates. Now this example looks right, and this example, this analogy looks very beautiful, but respected elders, it's wrong. Why it is wrong? Because, understand something about qiyas. Because there are four sources of argumentation in Sharia: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, that is consensus of opinion of the mujtahideen of the time, and qiyas, and a logical reasoning in the light of Sharia principles. Now, if we have to take that example which I gave you, you have to have the usul first. You have to have the principle. You prove the principle first, then you can prove the analogical reasoning to conform and to run parallel to the principle. Malikul Maut has got surrogates. Malikul Maut, the angel of death, he's got the angels under him. So he himself is not omnipresent. He himself does not have to go and take out the soul of every individual. He's got many, in the light of hadith, he's got many surrogates, he's got many who are under him, who are under his instruction, and who go to take out the souls. Don't we read in the hadith that the person is good, then the angels, not the angel, the angels of good come to him to take his soul. And the person is bad, the angels of bad or disobedient, or the ones who want to take the soul of the disobedient come to him. So the usul is that many angels are involved in this. So when we have the usul, then you can draw the analogical discussion or the rule after that, not before that. Another point, respected elders, it comes in the light of the hadith. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, when a believer dies, when a true believer dies, hadith is in Hakim, that the earth even weeps for 40 days. The earth weeps even for 40 days for that person who has passed away, the good person. And Hakim is such a hadith kitab. Hakim is a hadith kitab, Mustadrak Hakim. It is ala shart al-Bukhari. It is on the condition of Bukhari. Meaning how Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he drew up and compiled his hadith kitab, Hakim has done the same. Also there is another kitab by Khuzaimah. He also, if he says that he has correct, he has checked this hadith and it is correct, and it is reliable, it is valid, then we must know that the hadith is reliable and valid. Why I mentioned this, the concerning the walking Hajj, both Mustadrak Hakim and Khuzaimah have recorded hadiths sahih, which Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi has written in Virtues of Hajj. You'll find the hadith in detail there about Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrating about the virtues of walking Hajj. The hadith is reliable and it is in Mustadrak Hakim, and it has classified reliable by Khuzaimah. Nevertheless, when the body goes into the grave now, because the body and the soul are linked, understand, in this realm of Alam-e-Barzakh, the Alam-e-Barzakh is a different sphere, is a different realm, is a different world. And there is time differences there. First of all, there is time differences there. We cannot fathom the time. The time there and the time here, there are differences. And the comfort and the punishment and the ease and the azab in the alam e barzakh is rendered both to the body and the soul. Yeah, the question may arise, those especially who are involved in going to the graves and digging up the graves, etc. They'll say, no, we went to certain grave, but there was only bones there. We went to certain grave, the ants had eaten up. The ants had eaten up the body. Respected elders, that is what you and I see. That is what you and I see. But in that realm, as per authentic, reliable hadiths, which reach the stage where we can draw belief from, both body and physical punishment of the grave takes place. And Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a detailed discourse on this in his kitab called Incoherence of Philosophers. Incoherences of the Philosophers. He has written in detail about those who say, no, it is only physical. You know, sorry, it is only spiritual and not physical. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi in detail refutes their argument for argument and proves the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat view that it is both physical and it is spiritual. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that when the soul of a good person comes out, he feels, especially the martyr, he feels like he has been smitten or bitten by an ant. How the ant just touches him, you don't even feel that. That is how the soul is taken off. Now when the body and the soul goes into the grave, then the grave begins to constrict, and the grave begins to embrace, and the grave begins to become narrow, and the grave begins to squeeze, and the person now feels this. Comes in the hadith that when a good person, obedient person, and a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes away, then the grave holds him like how and embraces him like how a mother embraces the child. That is the comfort and that is the ease and that is the welcome. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that when a disobedient person, when he passes away, then the condition in the initial condition in the grave is like if you take an egg and you smash it with a stone. That is the coming together of the grave and the body and the squeezing of it. Like how that egg is being smashed by the stone, that's what happens to a disobedient person. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that when a disobedient person passes away and now he's laying in the grave, that the grave holds him and squeezes him and presses him until the ribs join the ribs, until one end of the body comes onto the other end of the body. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he indicated by interlacing his fingers, he indicated how strong and how close and how painful this is. And we should make dua that Allah ta'ala make it easy for us there. Now, according to the hadith of Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because people want to know when the questioning starts, he states very clearly, as soon as a person goes there, and people feel that when they go 40 steps away from the grave, then the questioning starts. No, what comes in the hadith, not about the 40 steps, but what comes there is when the last footsteps fade away. When the last footsteps fade away, then in the hadith by Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the mayat, the deceased, is made to sit up. He's made to sit up, and now when he's made to sit up, the questioning starts. When the questioning starts, then protection starts coming for him. If he was regular in salat, then salat comes and protects him. Protects him, helps him, aids him, guides him, supports him. If he was, alhamdulillah, making his fasting, then fasting will come and help him. If he gave his zakat, zakat is going to come and help him. If he was doing his charities, charities are going to help him. The basic fundamentals of Islam, if he was doing it properly, constructively, sincerely, with devotion, not for pomp, glory, and he was not innovating, and he was doing things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things are going to come and help him, and shield him, protect him, and cover him. Then the questioning is going to start. That ma dinuka, man rabbuka is the first question. Who is your Rabb? Now if the person knew, and the person knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was a practical Muslim, and he understood that my Rabb is Allah, my creator is Allah, my nourisher, provider, sustainer is Allah, and my giver is Allah, and the one who gives humility and he gives dignity is Allah, the one who gives riches and brings to poverty is Allah, the one who gives sickness and gives shifa is Allah. Everything is in the hands of Allah. That's a big discussion. Now, the person will be able to say that my Rabb is Allah. My Rabb is Allah. So, we are at an advantage here. You ask any student that examination, he'll be studying. And he'll be working hard. Why? Because the questioning is unknown. Because the questioning is unknown, he's working very hard. Unless you're buying the papers or doing something else, that's a different story. Now, when the questioning is unknown, you're working very hard. Yeah, the questioning is known. And there are only three questions. And the solution is also known. The answers are also known. What's the answer? To behave like a Muslim. To believe like a Muslim. To behave like a Muslim. To act like a Muslim. To perform like a Muslim. To rely on shirk, which was makna. To rely on tawheed. Avoid shirk and avoid bidah. Then, alhamdulillah, you'll be able to pass the examination. Ma deenuka, what is your deen? Deen exactly means way of life, complete way of life. What was that? If we were acting upon Islam here, we will say Islam. But if we were even looking like Muslims, but thinking like the kafirs, then what we will say? If we will have to think like Muslims, believe like Muslims, feel like Muslims, act like Muslims, talk like Muslims, dress like Muslims, then what do you say concerning Hazar Rajul? What do you say concerning this man? Yeah, there is a discussion. I'll start the discussion. Then, according to one interpretation, that angels, malaika, come there and they present these malaika, the kiram and katibin, the munkir and nakir. Kiram and Katibin are those who record your deeds, actions. The Munkir and Nakir, they present a tasweer, a photograph of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they show it to the person. That do you recognize this man? What do you say about him? Obviously, if you were loving Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking like him, feeling like him, behaving like him, you'll say, I know, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll be inspired to say that. One interpretation is, that because you are dealing with a different realm, you are dealing with a different sphere, you are dealing with a different world. This is this world. And now you've gone into the barzakh. Then from there, wherever you are, they turned your face where, and the ulama ikram, they insist on that. They say, put this person's face towards the Qibla. So they're facing it. And alhamdulillah, if you have to open and draw from where that person is to Madinatul Munawwara, he's able to see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us say if you remove all the sand and all the veils of distances from that person to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this interpretation says you'll be able to see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the question will be posed to you, that what do you say concerning this man? And if a person is inspired and he's a good Muslim, he'll say, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Concerning the language, etc., that is a different discussion. Time is up. However, there is one other section. We will, inshallah, Manunga is very lenient. He will give me some time, some other time to complete. Because I would like to mention also, who are those who get forgiven, who their questioning and answer is postponed? Who are those whose questioning and answer is suspended till the day of resurrection? Then on the day of resurrection, what happens to the souls? Where do the souls go? Then what happens to people like the Anbiya alayhi salam? Their souls and their bodies and the bodies of the Awliya ikram, what happens to their bodies? And also, what happens in a place called Araf. Araf is a buffer zone between Jannat and Jahannam. What happens to the souls there? May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this deen. This deen is very easy to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.